Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad, and with me, Shahidul Alam. He's a well-known photographer from Bangladesh. He's the author of this, a handsome book, collection of images, but also a story, of an essay about his nation. And Shahidul, I want to ask you about this, and tell us a little bit about all your trajectory. I mean, you started off with an academic career in Britain, I believe. And was it chemistry that you were teaching?
Organic chemistry.
Organic chemistry you were teaching that. You came back and you became a photographer, and that's such an amazing career shift. And how that decision that you made way back then, and the kind of work that you do today, because a lot of people think of photographers as kind of mute witnesses, documenters of the world around them, and not active participants. Tell us about that. I mean, that shape of your own professional trajectory.
Yeah. I mean, organic chemistry was a product of a middle class upbringing. Basically, you know, you become a doctor, an engineer, or a chemist to, you know, get a respectable profession. I was then, while I was doing my PhD, I was very involved with the Socialist Workers' Party, and I began to see how effectively photographs were being used.
This was in Britain?
In Britain.
This is Vanessa Redgrave's
yes,
party.
That sort of time. In fact, Solidarnosc, the Poland liberation movement and all that sort of thing. So in the streets, feeling the heat of that environment and everything else. And I thought, well, does Bangladesh need yet another research chemist? I was always interested in social justice. I'd left a country that had fought a battle to be liberated.
In 1971.
Exactly. And I'd left shortly after that. And I felt that was the land I was going to go back to, and I needed the tools. And no tool was going to be as powerful as the visual image, as the photograph. So that was a conscious decision. I didn't know if I could make a living as a photographer, but I was going to give it a go. When I came back, this was 1984, I saw that my country, which I'd left as an independent state, was under military control. There was Hussein Mohammed Shah, the general, who was calling the shots. He was the president. So I became very involved in trying to dismantle that regime. And that was how I began my activism within Bangladesh. In terms of you talking about what photography does, I didn't come in because of photography. I came in as an activist. I wanted to bring about social change, and I picked up what I thought was the most powerful tool available. As long as that tool continues to be powerful, I will use it. If tomorrow it ceases to be powerful, I'll have no problems abandoning it.
Yeah, and where does the power of the image come from? And because we have voice, we have sound, we have all kinds of sensors. Why do you think the visual image today is so powerful?
It penetrates at a level that others cannot. I mean, the visual image is something you absorb way before you've even had a time to resist it. And it's also very insidious in the way in which not only do you confront it as you see it, but it haunts you, it seeps in, it gets into your skin. And it is that power, I think, that combined with other things, it's a question of how people use it, of course. And you look at turning points in history, how photographs at certain points have caused those inflections.
Okay. This book, which is titled My Journey as a Witness, tell us a little bit about this.
This happened, this actually started off as a book of essays. And I was one of the early bloggers in Bangladesh, and friends of mine who read my pieces wanted to have a collection. And I was interested. Skira, a very well-known publisher, Italian publisher, they brought out the first book of Matisse with Picasso's illustrations and things like that. They approached me to do my book, and they said, we can't do your book without photographs. So it morphed into this book. But that, in a sense, talks not only about the political journey, but also about the photographic movement and how that evolved. And I've built institutions, the Drick Agency, Batchelor, the School of Photography, which now many consider to be perhaps the finest school of photography in the world, and the Chobimala Festival, which was the first photo festival in Asia and now is the trendsetter in that sense. So it does talk about that aspect of it, but to a large extent it is about social justice. It's about how people's lives are interwoven and our struggle.
It's really interesting because, you know, you make the point, it's not just a tool, it's not just a medium, but a worldview. You brought a worldview to this particular medium. And I want to talk about this book too, because here it is, You in Malaysia. And so this is called Best Years of My Life. It's a book about the Bangladeshi migrant in Malaysia. Why did you seek to look at this book? I mean, Bangladeshi migrants are all over them. I mean, the Bangladeshi diaspora is huge and really spread out. Why Malaysia?
Well, firstly, the title, The Best Years of My Life. It's ironic. I was doing a story on migration generally, and I've been working on migration for a very long time. And the Bangladeshi migrants in France live between Gare du Nord and Gare de l'Est. And there was
these are train stations.
These are two train stations in the center of Paris. And the shop owner I'd become friendly with says, maybe you should go upstairs. And that's where the bunk beds are. And they sleep in those tier things and they go out and sell roses. And I meet this young guy and he says, yes, it's when it's not raining and when the police aren't chasing me, it's not a bad life. But I'm giving away the best years of my youth. Who will ever give that back to me? And that got me thinking about the sacrifices the workers make. And Bangladesh's economy is built on migrant labor, on garment workers, and our farmers in the field. And we treat these people abysmally, as you do, sadly, in your country and elsewhere. Our economies have gained so much from the toil of these people.
Yet from the remittances.
From the remittances for us, and from what they do for you. Yet neither of us really recognize or respect those people. And I felt it was time to pay homage to those people.
But this book is also kind of interesting in that there's many textures. It's not just about the individual who's oppressed or is exploited. It's also about some success stories or about the movers and shakers in the ecosystem of the migrant community here, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that was it's good you've observed that. Part of the point was to humanize the story, because at the end of the day, there is a very particular representation that the migrants have, that it is complex, that it's multi-layered, and that they are like you and me, other human beings with the same emotions, with successes and failures, and the emotional responses they have to that. And in doing the book, not only did I look at workers, I looked at employers, bureaucrats, activists, the workers themselves.
And a couple of datos.
Yes, yes, exactly, absolutely. And success stories.
Right. Okay, we'll take another short break. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned to Let's Talk. We'll be right back.